The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, if you're a regular listener at all, you know my deep, deep concern for the church in America and the continual but slight drift leftward away from biblical truth. Well, my guest has written a brand new book, Saving Christianity, that I think you need to read. My guest is Dr. Michael Youssef, the founder and president of Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. And I didn't realize this, but his weekly television programs and daily radio programs are broadcast in 26 different languages, seen worldwide, and they air more than 14,000 times per week. He's also the founding pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. Dr. Michael Youssef, welcome to the program.
My dear Bob Burney, what an honor to be back with you.
It is my honor, sir. It is my honor. Well, the title of the book is Saving Christianity, and of course, my first question is, does Christianity need to be saved? Well, that's the question you ask in your introduction. And if you will, allow me to quote Dr. Michael Youssef. You say on page 5, these leaders who think they are saving Christianity by deconstructing God's truth are, in fact, the greatest danger the church faces today. I agree with you completely. The greatest enemy is not without, it is within. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that is why I have a question mark after the title, Saving Christianity, because I found in my research, as I went back as far as I can, particularly in the United States, I did actually go back even in the Old Testament, but very briefly, I show, even in the United, from Fosdick to, you know, just all the way, and McLaren and Rob Bell, all and Bishop Spong, all the people who compromise the truth, who want to water down the gospel, change it, take out the supernatural altogether, make it palatable to the natural man, every one of them would say, I am doing this in order to save Christianity. We have to reinvent Christianity. We have to reinvent the church. We have to re... I said, wait a minute. I mean, this has been burning inside of me for 42 years, and finally I put pen to paper. And all my research have shown that this is a saving operation. It's been the most failed operation so far in human history, because nobody can save Christianity, because the heart of Christianity is Christ.
Yeah.
And who in the world would save Christ? He is the one to save us. And who's the one? We need to be saved by him and through him. And so I go through all of this, and I point out, especially in modern times, with so many of the evangelical churches. You see, I used to be part, back in the days of Noah, I used to be part of the mainline denominations. And I fought those wars in the 70s and the 80s. And I thought when I left and you know, basically become an independent evangelical, I thought, I'm at home, but now I'm feeling that I am fighting those same battles. I'm hearing that same language that I used to hear in the mainland denomination when they were departing from the faith. And now evangelical pastors, some mega church pastors, who are saying, well, there could be more than one way to God. We don't really know. How can God only have one way? And all this doubt that they're bringing into the faith and into the life of the faith, you know, the faithful. And I tell people, I want to reach as many pastors as I can, plead with them, please think about the audience of one, not the few thousand people that you're facing today. and want to be liked by them today, and they want to be popular today, but is the one that you're going to face, the audience of one on that day, what he's going to say? How popular were you? How many books have you written? How many sermons you preached? How many people you had? No, he's going to see how faithful you've been with this truth.
Well, you mentioned,
I'm pleading with pastors to go back to the truth of the gospel.
Amen, and I'm so glad you are. You mentioned Shane Claiborne, Rob Bell. You're probably familiar with Jim Wallace's fairly new book, Christ in Crisis, Why We Need to Reclaim Jesus. Dr. Youssef, when I saw that, I thought, Christ is not in crisis, and he doesn't need to be reclaimed. I talked to him this morning, and he was just fine.
And he told me he's still reigning and ruling on the rim of the universe, sitting on his throne.
And he
laughs, by the way. The psalmist in Psalm 2 said he laughs. He's laughing the laugh of derision over these jokers who think that they can reclaim him, they can reinvent him, they can redress him, and they can make him look good to the atheists and the agnostics and the non-church people.
What's supreme arrogance to think that any human could reclaim Christ or get Christ out of crisis? He can handle it himself, and he's given us his word and his Holy Spirit, and Christ is not in crisis. Much of the church is, however.
Absolutely. But his elect, his faithful ones, are going to stay safe. He's going to keep them safe all the way to heaven. But you see, the problem is we got used to this, you know, the evangelicals of 40 million, 140 million, million, millions. God doesn't care about how many million evangelicals we have. He doesn't care about numbers. We do. And because, you know, we find politicians want to use that, you know, to their advantage. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. God looks at each one of us individually and knows us by name. And that's who counts, not our strength and our number and our power of lobbying or what we can do. And no, God can do anything and everything without us.
Yeah.
And it's only submission to his power and authority. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. The power is in the gospel, not in us, not in our clever techniques and marketing, not in our being articulate and eloquent. No, the power is in the gospel. And I've heard years ago, I was a young boy, it took about 60 years ago, I remember a preacher who was blind, totally blind, and he got up and he was preaching. And my goodness gracious, he was reciting the scripture, and he was going back and had me spellbound as a 12-year-old. And I leaned over to my mother. I said, how can he do this? She said, son, blindness is the blindness of the heart, not the blindness of the eye. And we have so many people who are blind-hearted. They are really blind-hearted, and we need to wake up the church. We need to cry out to God so that he can send us a revival. It's the only way out of this crisis is a heaven invasion into our realm. And God is listening to the few, faithful few who are praying, the remnant, those who are remaining. That's what the remnant means. Those who are remaining in the faith have not departed, have not defected to the enemy's territory. He's listening. He's hearing, and I believe he will answer our prayers.
My guest is Dr. Michael Youssef. His brand new book, and I mean it is brand new, Saving Christianity with a question mark. We must take a quick break, and then we'll be back with much more. Dr. Michael Youssef, the book, Saving Christianity, question mark. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
My guest, Dr. Michael Youssef, author of a brand new book, Saving Christianity. Dr. Youssef, you have written more than 40 books. In reading through this book, I get the impression that maybe some of your other books you thought, you know, maybe I should write this, but I get the impression that you felt I have to write this book. Am I correct in that?
Absolutely. I've been feeling that urge for 40 years, and then it keeps increasing, kept increasing. It's like one of my elders was asking me, he said, well, how long it took you to write this? And he was kind of mesmerized by all the information. I said, well, it took me 40 years to write it because it's been inside of me. And every day and every year it grows, the urgency kept on growing until I saw a very well-known evangelical megachurch pastor saying, we need to do away with the Old Testament. I said, that's it. Yeah. I've got to write the book.
I know who you're talking about. And by the way, in your book, you do name names. On page 66, you say this, and I quote, "Let's not blame the secular world for the decline of truth in our society. The debasing of truth did not begin in Hollywood, New York, or Washington, D.C. It began in the Christian church. For decades, many Christian denominations have abandoned or tried to soft-pedal biblical truth, and our society has followed suit." And then you go into the example of Marcus Borg and his unbelievably negative influence on the church. I love the emphasis of this, that it's not them, it's us.
Yep, it is us. We have found the enemy, and it is us.
Yeah.
And that really is truly, because I know that preachers tend to really just rouse on the secular society, that's a humanist, and they doing this, and they doing that. And I say, well, okay, before we start pointing finger at them, they don't know. Their eyes are blind. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. They don't understand what we understand, but let's point inward. Let's look at what happened, and that is why I really came up with this, you know, all this research that I've done with a colleague of mine. We worked really hard on pointing out in every person. I have no hatred, animosity, or dislike to any of these people. I, in fact, pray for them all. But I deal with their ideas, not with them personally, but how they got us into this situation, how the church basically was found to be asleep on the switch. And as somebody said, as goes the pulpit, so goes the pew, and as goes the pew, so goes the nation. So before we start pointing the finger at the world, it is us, it's the pulpit that needs to be, the searchlight need to be pointed to and begin to look there, because that's where you start. The Bible said, find out from where you have fallen, and we have fallen miserably in the pulpits in America.
Yeah.
And not all of them, of course. Thank God for the faithful 7,000 knees that have not bowed down to Baal. And I thank God for my friends in the evangelical world, and so many of them you know well enough, and I know, and they've been dear friends of mine for a long time. And it's like David Jeremiah once said, he said, let's hang together, otherwise we'll hang separately. And and the truth is that, yeah, thank God for all these faithful people. But it is time now to shine the flashlight and show that if you're a layman and you're sitting in the pew listening to this stuff, and you know in your heart that this is not truth, this is not biblical, if you cannot change a situation, if you're not in authority or ability to do it, then you need to run. You need to go and find a church, a Bible-believing church, because it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better.
Well, you're singing. You're singing my song, brother. You are. One of the things you point out in the book are the false perceptions of Jesus in our culture. You know, everybody was wearing the WWJD bracelets and so forth. And my problem with that is that many of the people who are wearing the What Would Jesus Do bracelets have no idea who Jesus really is, because they've been attending a church that is giving them a false perception of Jesus. Would you concur with that?
We trivialized Jesus. We trivialized him to a slogan like that.
Yeah.
He is the Lord of life. He is the God who left heaven's glory to come to earth, live the worst kind of a life, die in a worst kind of death, rise again on the third day in order to give us eternal life. He's not your pal down the street. And you know, what would the shopkeepers do? What would my buddy do? No, yeah. He is the Lord of life. And I'm, you know, initially I sort of was, well, I winced when I heard that back in whenever it came out. And now the more I think about it, it is trivializing who the Lord. We have lost our sense of awe, and that's really the beginning of it. When we began to just come to church with, you know, flip-flops and jeans, and we had total disrespect to God, and not think of the awe and the awesomeness of God, and come with a broken heart and a broken and bended knees. That is the beginning. Once you trivialize who he is and you lose that sense of awe and wonder, like Isaiah when he said, "Woe unto me," when he entered into the Holy of Holies, that is the one thing that has been missing, and it keeps taking us down at what Spurgeon calls the downward slide.
And we have forgotten that the risen Christ described in Revelation chapter 1,
oh, yeah.
You know, when John saw the risen Christ, he fell on his face as if he was dead. He didn't go up and give a big slippery kiss on his cheek. He worshipped.
And yet he leaned on his shoulder earthly life.
Yeah, very true.
He saw that glorified Jesus, and that was transformative for him. And that's what we need to start seeing, the resurrected, ascended, glorified Jesus. Paul said we should know him after the flesh no more. And that sense of awe and wonder that is missing from our churches today is what causing us to become so casual with God and treat him like the little pal down the street. He is the Lord of glory, and he condescends to accept us. Well, accept Jesus like the poor Jesus out in the streets. You know, just let him in. No, you should be grateful every single moment of every day that he accepted you. And until we get to that kind of gospel truth, we're going to find that we become more casual and more casual and more casual. And unfortunately, it's going to rub off in our theology, and we're going to end up with a Christless Christianity, which is a dead Christianity.
We have about 45 seconds left, Dr. Youssef. What is the take-home? When someone takes this book, reads it, lays it aside, they've finished it, and now in about 30 seconds, what is the take-home you want readers to get?
I want the person to get on their knees and realize and appreciate the wonder of their salvation and the glory of Jesus, and then begin to say, use me. Even me, because God looks to the individuals. He's looking at each one of us. Use me to be an instrument of revival to bring up the awakening, the third great awakening in the church. And God will hear that prayer.
Dr. Michael Youssef has written a very important, very needed book, Saving Christianity. It is a Tyndale book. You can get it at Amazon.com, of course. Get it. Dr. Michael Youssef, Saving Christianity. Dr. Youssef, it is always an honor and privilege to have you on the program.
Thank you, my friend Bob. The Lord bless you, my friend.
You as well. Again, Saving Christianity with Dr. Michael Youssef. All right, we'll be right back.